to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
So good. And if you missed it, Pastor M's message launching us into this How Can I Love You Better series that's kind of under servant-hearted humility last week, go listen to the podcast, clarify expectations, all those beautiful things she just kind of touched on then. But church, how can I love you better? What a question. What a question for us to wrestle with. And this question is a tool to help us take a hold and ground this concept of servant-hearted humility in our practical, real relationships so that we can continue to be formed and shaped more and more into the likeness of Jesus for the sake of others in our world. Does that sound, that's right? And there is a clear call to us in Scripture and through the life of Jesus to be a people who love well. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, follow the way of love. Matthew 22, Jesus tells us the two most important commandments that everything hangs on is to love God and to love others. 1 John 4 says that God is love. And as I've sat with this question and listened to Marriage Crit and chatted with others and heard from God about what this could look like today. Oh, we're swapping? Nice.
Thanks, Ivan.
Shout out, Ivan. He's loving me better by giving me a mic that doesn't scream bad things at me. But as I've sat with this and prayed about this and tried to hear from God about this, the thing that's resounding in me is kindness. And when we look at the qualities of this love that we're called to in Christ, what we see in 1 Corinthians 13 is that God's love is patient and God's love is kind and other stuff too. But we're going to land in kind today. And kindness is a key characteristic of God's love that is intended to flow in us and then flow through us into our relational world. And this question of how can I love you better in our friendships, in our marriages, in our parenting, in our workplace relationships, this question, as Pastor M said last week, is the means to humility to help us look past ourselves and to look to others, and it's underpinned and woven through with kindness. And kindness is not like the number one thing. I know Pastor M actually shouted me out as someone who's kind, but that's not the number one thing I would define myself as if I was like, oh, tell me about yourself. I'm really kind. That's strange. This is, it's fine for other people to say it. You just don't say it about yourself. But it's this. I feel like this is more of like a preach from my weakness kind of message than a preach from my strength. This is something I've been convicted in over years with God and from others where people have convicted kindness in me and said, you need to shape up how you're thinking, how you're speaking, which was, you know, rough. But, you know, it's through my life in a continued surrender and openness to God, he has shaped and formed kindness in me against my negativity, against my harsh words and harsh thoughts, against my ingrained mindsets about myself and the world and others. And I don't think there's probably a lot of guys here today that are going to really keen to throw kindness up on the list of how they define themselves. Is that right, fellas? I don't think there's a lot of guys who are like, yeah, I'm just really kind. They're like, yeah, I bench 100. But for all the guys here today, I just want to encourage you not to tune out. That this isn't something to write off as something that we should have preached next week at Mother's Day. This isn't something that's more feminine just because we're talking about love and kindness. But as a husband, I want to be more kind to my wife. As a father, I want to be kind to my children. I want them to be raised in an environment of kindness, in a relationship with me in kindness. As a son, I want to be kind to my parents and how I treat them well and how I love them well through the years. And this word today is not just for a certain group of people. This word is for everyone who follows Jesus and has relationships, which hopefully is all of us, or at least we hit the relationships part here today, because we actually believe in a kind God. We believe in a kind God. We believe in a kind Savior in Jesus. And God has a kind plan and a kind heart for our world. And His kingdom reality is characterized by kindness. But if we had all the power to see that kingdom reality established on earth, how would we go about it? So I asked a bunch of young adults a question this week. I just sent out a random message to them. And I said, if you had all the powers of Superman, stay with me. If you had all the powers of Superman, like super strength, super flight. I think all flight's probably pretty super. Super speed, all the things, you know, he probably has like 1,500 powers or something. He's just the ultimate superhero. I asked them, what would you do with that power? And they mostly, initially, they said they'd just do stuff for themselves, which is valid, which is fair. I think we all would. They said they'd fly around the world and visit all the countries that they wanted to visit. They would go. Someone said they'd go to space just to check it out. Fair, valid. Some pretty cool stuff that you would do for yourself. One young adult had a really unique, interesting business idea of how you can make some money off of this, but we won't expose Jonah like that today. Oh, sorry, dude. My bad. Where is it? Sorry. It's all right. If you're an investor, maybe chat to Jonah. I asked Fraser Brown. Who loves Fraser Brown? Where are the Browns? Yeah, Pastor Leanne and Barry, the sweetest boy ever raised. Because you know what he said? He said, oh, I would take intern and fly home to Perth and surprise my family. Just straight, no hesitation. What a guy. But then the next most important thing that everyone said was basically that they would just become tyrannical dictators in the world and just make world peace by getting rid of all the baddies. So they would basically just like force their power into the world as like this standalone being of supreme morality and just kind of get rid of all bad things and make everyone have to be good. And it's like, yeah, I guess we all feel the responsibility to do that, but it's not. It's a version of God's desired reality that's outworked through force and through fear. And praise the Lord that we don't have that power. And praise the Lord that our young adults don't have that power. Bless them. But God does have all power. God does have all authority. God does have all capacity and ability and influence over heaven and earth, that everything and all creation is the Lord's. He is the creator. We are the created. He can do anything that he wants, and yet he doesn't establish his desired reality on earth through force or through fear, because that's not how God envisions that reality. He's not a tyrant overlord wielding superpower against us, but God's heart is kindness and his way is kindness. God so loved the world that he sent us Jesus not to come as a superhero, but as a sacrifice. He didn't come to lord his power over us, but to lower himself in humility, even to the point of death and death on a cross. And his kingdom reality is not enforced through fear or through force, but established through love and kindness. And we are brought into a kingdom of kindness that is led by a kind king. And to be an apprentice to the way of Jesus is to be formed in his kind likeness. And so we can look to Jesus as a model of this kindness. And as we read the Gospels, we see time and time again, we see Jesus, that he loves people who are unloved, that he gives time to people who were neglected, that he heals people who were sick. That is an act of God's kindness to people. That he listened to people who were marginalized and unheard, that he sat and ate with people who were rejected, that he slows down and is patient with people, even his disciples. Imagine hanging out all day, every day with 12, 15-year-olds. You'd have to be patient. And time again, they're asking dumb questions and Jesus is slowing down to meet them where they are, not to treat them with harshness, but to help bring them along the journey with him. And the cross is the ultimate example of God's kindness to us. In Titus, we don't often go to Titus. What a book. Titus 3 verses 4 to 5, it says, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. When the kindness and love of God appeared in Jesus, he saved us. And this kindness is rooted in humility. In Philippians 2, in this chapter of Philippians that we're grounded in through the servant-hearted humility, and through this year, in verses 5 to 8, it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And humility is the mindset of Jesus. Humility, it takes our eyes off of ourselves and it fixes our eyes onto others. And in our relationships with one another, we want to be people who are not just considering our own status or what we want or how what we deserve or how we can get what we want from the other person in that relationship. But like Jesus, we would be a people who can humble ourselves, who don't work our relationships to our own advantage to take, but we would be a people who take on the nature of a servant for one another, and that we would have the same mindset as Jesus in our relationships, that we could be the outworked reality of God's kindness to the people that we love and the people that we do life with. And so my first, if you're looking for a point, if you're a point, you like preachers with points, I've got two of them. How great. First one is kingdom kindness is others serving. Kingdom kindness is others serving. And back to Philippians verses 3-4, it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. And kingdom kindness, this kindness that we're called to, kingdom kindness is not in the interest of gaining, but of giving. It's not self-serving, it's others serving. That's who we are. We're not self-serving, we're others-serving. And I say kingdom kindness specifically, kingdom kindness, because I believe that there's actually a difference between the type of kindness that characterizes God's kingdom and the type of kindness that's actually been perpetuated in our Western cultural moment in our society. And often our world's version of kindness can actually be pretty self-serving. We can, in our relationships, treat kindness like it's a commodity where we keep track of kindness and only dish back to the level that we've received. And this version of kindness, it's detrimental to our relationships. It tears down, it breaks down our relationships. It's only concerned with serving ourselves and not our spouse, not our friends, not our kids. We're just worried about what have I received and I'll give back to that level. In our culture, we can measure kindness in comparison to one another. I know I shouldn't park in this parents with prams bay, but everyone does it. Just so you know, I'm checking. If you're parking in your parents' pram bay, you better have car seats in the back, because we're out here with two toddlers and we're just making, you know, I'm parking all the way down there. Anyway, it happened yesterday. It honestly happened yesterday. Someone with their Merc pulled into the parents' and pram bay in front of us. It's all good. Bless them, God. You know, we'll pray for him. But it's also, I know I shouldn't send this message about that person, about how much I don't like that person or that thing that they did. But literally everyone does it. Like, it's normal, it's healthy. I've got to vent, I've got to get this out. It's fine, they're not going to share anyone. We can really self-servingly rationalize our lack of kindness against others' imperfection instead of against Jesus Christ's perfection. And Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the perfect measure of kindness that we are called to aspire to as we are formed more and more into his image. And kindness in the world has become like this cultural catchphrase that we can kind of like wear on our shirts. Like, if you've been into some like certain stores when there's just like, kindness is cool. Like, I'm a kindness queen. All good. But this is not what Paul meant when he encourages us in Colossians 3:12. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, and with patience. And to clothe ourselves in kindness is not just like sick shirts. It's cool. You can wear those shirts. That's fine. I've got no problems with that, just so you know. Like, if you are wearing something today, you don't have to like cover up. But to clothe ourselves with kingdom kindness is to allow for a deep work of God to transform our hearts to look more like his, where others would recognize the kindness of Jesus in you and on you. And it shifts our heart's desire from serving ourselves to serving others. And so kingdom kindness is not self-serving, it's others-serving. And as we are formed more and more into the likeness of Jesus, an others-serving kingdom kindness is shaped in us. We begin to carry and foster that kindness in our relationships how Jesus did. And this kindness is not from a place of personal gain or you know, being kind out of an interest of what can be returned to us, but out of a heart of love, a heart of compassion for our friends, for our spouse, for our kids, for the people that we work with, that we could love them and serve them better like Jesus. And so how can I love you better? It's a question that embodies this kingdom kindness reality as it directs our hearts towards others. And self-serving kindness is a work of striving, It's a work of effort. It's a work of keeping up appearances. But an others-serving kindness, kingdom kindness, is a work of the Spirit in us and through us. So self-serving kindness is a work of keeping up appearances of our work, of our striving. But the kindness that God calls us to, that he shapes in us, is a work of his Spirit and his power in us and through us. And kingdom kindness is actually a fruit of the Spirit that we see in Galatians 5:22. Sometimes we skip over the boring ones. We just do love, joy, peace, yada, yada, yada. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, or patience, if you like, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and yada, 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 self-control, just kidding. And kindness is the evidence of a Spirit-filled life following Jesus. Kindness in us, kingdom kindness in us, others-serving kindness in us, is the evidence of a life filled with the Spirit as we follow Jesus. And it's what should be produced in us. It's what could be produced in us through a deeper relationship with Jesus and through a greater openness to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's formed, it's shaped, it's produced in us as we apprentice ourselves to Jesus and are formed more in his likeness. And Jesus lived a Spirit-filled life. Jesus lived a life filled with the Spirit. He did what he did, not because he was just like really, really good. He did what he did because he was also fully God, fully man, filled with the Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what he had to do. And kingdom kindness is not produced in us through a work of our effort, but through a work of openness to the Holy Spirit. It's something for us to wrestle with and to be challenged in our character and in our relationships. Maybe some questions, some hard-hitting questions maybe today, whoopsie, is where am I unkind? Like, am I kind to my wife? Am I kind to my husband? Am I kind to my kids? Do my friends actually see kindness in me in our relationship with one another? Am I a kind person to work with? Sometimes we can compartmentalize our workplace to like, this is over here and then the rest of my life's over here, but you're still representing who you are and who Jesus is over here. And so where we work with our boss, with the people that are under us and next to us, how kind are we in our workplaces in the world? Where in my relationships can I be formed more into Christ's kindness? And because kingdom kindness is not our catchphrase, it's our calling. Kingdom kindness is not a catchphrase, it's our calling, and it's our Spirit-empowered way of Jesus that we're called to follow. And this requires us to humble ourselves. Kindness today, for you, kindness may not be your natural disposition. It may not be your natural posture. We may not see ourselves as a kind person. It may not be what we think we can bring to a relationship. We may have been taught through life experiences, through our parenting, through disappointments, to actually turn away from an other-serving kindness. And I just want us today to know and understand that God is so kind. That is his nature. That is who he is. And as we can come humbly to him in our weakness and in our hurt and in our insecurity and our guardedness and in our disappointments and in our negativity and all these things, he will meet you where you are with kindness. He reaches out to you through the cross with kindness. And God sees you and he loves you with kindness. He sees us here today and he loves us with kindness. And as we can invite a work of God's Spirit in our hearts and in our minds, he can actually renew us and transform us and produce and rewrite scripts that are in our mind and produce his kingdom kindness in us and through us in our relationship world. And I've seen him do it to me because I've had people say to me, they're like, you're too negative. And you need to change the way that you speak, the way that you act, the way that you carry, the way that you think. And I've had to come to a point of openness with the Spirit, openness with God to say, come and shape this in me. And over a few years, I'm still not the kindest dude in the world. I'm kind enough. I'm still a work in progress, but I feel like there's been an evidence of God's kindness working in my mind in the way that I see and love others. And this is a work of God in us. Absolutely, 100%. It's a work of God in us. It's the evidence of a Spirit-filled life as we follow him. But it's also an intentional heartbeat for us to own as we lean into this posture of how can I love you better? So it's work for God and it's work for us. And so the second point, if you're into that, is how can I love you better is an intentional posture of kindness. And so practically, I just want to encourage us today that the outworking of this kingdom kindness is not just in random, extravagant moments of inspiration where we do extraordinary things and film it on TikTok to love others. But this question, how can I love you better? It grounds us in a real, daily, consistent, intentional posture of kindness. And as again, as Pastor M said last week, it can look like small, achievable steps. It doesn't have to look like the big and bold and like we're just giving 1,000 packs of lunch to every homeless person in Perth. That's not always what kindness has to look like. But in our relational world, yes, there can be moments where God's kindness is outworked through us in extravagant ways where we bless people abundantly. But the outworked reality of God's kindness in our relationships, in our daily relationships, is less about the extraordinary and actually more about the ordinary. It's less about buying the most generous and extravagant gift for your friend's birthday. It's less about surprising your spouse with a secretly planned weekend getaway where the kids are organized and everything else. It's less about paying for the shopping of a struggling family at the checkout in front of you with a $500 shop. It's less about, I don't know if this is relevant to anyone else other than me, but turning up to someone's house with an extremely overgrown lawn. And does anyone get those TikToks or Instagrams where it's like free lawn Fridays and it's so satisfying? They're like, the lawn's really overgrown. They mow it for free and the guy's crying at the end. Like, and it's just like, oh, it's just lawn talk. Well, if you're with me, we'll chat after. I'll never skip one. It's less about sending a text so amazing, so beautiful and rich that they start weeping at work as they read it. It's more about surprising your friend or your spouse or your coworker with a coffee when you're already getting a coffee. It's more about intentionally complimenting that someone of what someone is wearing or something that you like about that person. It's more about sending an encouraging message to your friend or your spouse during the week and just to tell them something that you appreciate about them or something that you love about them or just to ask them how their day is going. It looks more like offering to take someone's trolley back to the trolley bay when you're already taking your trolley back to the trolley bay. Someone did that for me recently and I was like, oh, why have I never done that? It's so beautiful. Like, that's so kind and nice and simple and easy and a simple intentional way that we can posture ourselves in kindness to others. It looks like intentionally not choosing to wash the dishes the moment your husband gets in the shower. And again, that one may be personal. But our kitchen sink is connected to our bathroom water. But I don't mind it because it humbles me. You know, sometimes I just need lukewarm showers just to keep me grounded in reality. Some people don't have showers. I don't know. Let's keep going. It looks like showing kindness to others at family lunch. Whoa, hey, that's today. As we connect with people that we maybe don't know as well or haven't spoken to as much. It looks like asking someone in your world, how can I love you better? And so it's not just about high effort. It's not just about extraordinary acts of kindness. It's also about the ordinary, the intentional, the little words, the little ways that we can have a big impact in our relational world with others. And on our Servant-Hearted Humility page, if you haven't been there in a while, there are some simple, ordinary, intentional next steps. There's the drop-downs. You can look at the Servant-Hearted next steps or Humility next steps. There's some real, grounded, practical ways that we can take intentional next steps in loving others better, in praying for people that to love them better, in helping others to smile more, to send someone a text. There's all of these incredible next steps. I'd encourage you to head to the website and you can check that out during the week as we're prayerful about this, about how we can love each other better. And another part of this intentional posture of how I can love you better is actually considering, how do I use my words in ordinary moments? This is something I felt to touch on today, is that our words carry weight. And not just for other people, but also our words carry weight in our own world. And so writing this message this week, I became even more aware of how many unkind things that I think and say and speak every single day and how many times my wife, Michaela, will go, Tom, you can't say that. Or you're saying that way too loud. So if that's for you, if you struggle with this, I'm here. I'm with you. But when you take notice of your words in your ordinary moments, it's often a clear indicator of what's happening in our heart. And Jesus tells us, Luke 6, he says, what you say flows from what is in your heart. And it's important that we can listen and catch on to our own words and actually understand where there might be areas of greater surrender and freedom for us to step into, where his kindness can abound in us more and more. In Ephesians 4:29, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that they may benefit those who listen. In Colossians 4:6, it says, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. And our words carry weight, and they can build someone up or they can tear someone down. Our words are called to be kind. Our words are called to be encouraging. Our words are called to build up, to be gracious and attractive. And in my relationships, in my marriage, in my current friendships, to my children, whether they're 2 or they're 20, are my words kind? Do they encourage? Are they attractive to listen to? How can I take steps in considering what my words sound and feel like so that God's kindness can abound in me and through me to the people that I love? And I think in Australia, we are really good at banter. We love banter. We love to make jokes, to make light of everything, to not try and take everything too seriously. And in most cases, it's usually at someone's expense. And I'm not, again, please don't shut off, because I'm not against banter. I'm pro banter. I love banter. I'm pro a little bit of light roasting between friends or between you and your spouse, or maybe your family has some ongoing jokes that you bring up every, you know, Easter and Christmas or whatever. That's fine. Keep that going. But if our banter isn't gracious and attractive, if our banter doesn't leave our friends and our loved ones feeling encouraged, if our banter is unkind and tears down more than it builds up, our words are out of alignment with the life that we're called to live. So we can still banter, and maybe this part of this is because I'm repping young adults as well, and there's a lot of banter that happens. There's a lot of love in conversation with one another. We can still banter with one another. We can still joke. We can still love each other through humor and you know, ripping each other a little bit. But I don't want us to be like an unfunny, boring church where we can't make jokes because we're just like all filtering ourselves too much. But let our banter be about including others. Let our banter be about bringing others in, about being friendly, about loving and building others up. Maybe there's banter that can happen outside today in family lunch where it's about actually bringing others in that you don't know rather than keeping others out that you don't want. And kindness is not just about holding in all our bad thoughts. It's also about letting out all our good thoughts. And so we can love so much better in our relationships, and we can love the people in our world so much better, and they could feel so much more loved by us as we're not just holding our tongues from saying unkind things. I don't want us to feel like we have to leave being like, I can't talk anymore. Everything I think and say is unkind. It's not about that. It's also about letting out all the good thoughts, all the good things that you have to say about people. It's intentionally letting out the good thoughts that we think, letting people hear what you think they do well, letting your wife know what you love about her, letting your kids know what that you think that they excel in and how great they are and how it's, and you know what? It can be really awkward. It can be really weird sometimes to encourage someone that you don't normally encourage. Like, it can be really weird sometimes to try and be intentionally nice to family members. Whatever reason, we're like too familiar or too close that if you try and like tell your brother or sister, be like, oh, you look nice, Ed. They're like, what's your problem? Like, what are you scheming in this? You know, they're like, shut up. You know? So we can be uncomfortable, but we're called beyond our own discomfort. Let's allow kingdom kindness to form in us and flow through us with intentional, loving encouragement to those around us. And so how can I love you better? It's an intentional posture of kindness that we're called to as we're formed more and more into the image of Christ. And just as we close today, I just want to encourage us again that God's heart for us is kindness. His kindness is shown to us in Jesus. Jesus, who died for us on the cross so that we could be redeemed and restored and renewed in him. And his kind, loving mercy is for us to receive and take a hold of today. Not because of anything that we've done to deserve it or earn it or work for it or put up the right appearance for. Because man sees what's on the outside, God sees what's in your heart. But his kindness, no matter who you are and where you've been and what your life's been like and how you feel today, is freely given for us to receive in him. And whether we struggle with this and kindness feels far from us, whether we struggle to conceptualize a God who is kind to us, whether where life just doesn't feel kind right now, maybe you're just like wearing the young kid grind, sometimes life doesn't feel that kind, we're with you. Whether you're a young adult or a teenager struggling with some complex friendship issues, whether we're a man who just finds this hard because it just doesn't feel all that manly to us. Jesus was the greatest man, the greatest example in human history of how his strength and kindness was expressed, his strength and power was expressed through love and kindness to others, where others could receive what he had to give because of the way that he could bring it to them. He holds out that kindness to us today, freely to receive. And I just want to take a moment before Pastor Jace comes up, just to take a moment to pray together and receive that kindness afresh. So wherever you are, if you're comfortable, if you could just close your eyes. Lord, we thank you that you are kind, that your heart is kind, that you have a kindness for us to receive today. And we pray that where our hearts are guarded to that kindness, or where our lives have taught us that this is not the way, we thank you, Jesus, that you are the perfect model of the way that we are called to live. And so we pray, would you help us to step into a greater surrenderedness, a greater openness to a work of your Spirit to reshape our thoughts, to renew us and redeem us and restore us in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives, so that we could be the realized, outworked kingdom reality of your kindness in us and through us to the people in our world that we love. That we want to be kind men and women of God who go out into the world and people could recognize your heart of kindness in us. And we thank you that your kindness is designed to lead us to you. And so I pray, God, as you fill us and as we receive that kindness afresh today, that you would help us to outwork it in our lives, where others are drawn to you, attracted to you, where our conversation and our words would be gracious and attractive, and our ways would be intentional and loving. And so we pray, God, as we love each other better in our relationships, in our marriages, in our parenting, in our friendships, in our workplace, would you help us to be those who are formed and shaped more and more like you? So we praise you, we honor you today, Jesus, the perfect Savior. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.